the book of Habakkuk. This is our Bible readings by Dr. Jim. I'm not going to go into extreme in depth in these books, but I think that we ought to be familiar with all the books in the Old Testament and the New Testament and where they are in your Bible. We as Baptists say that we believe that our complete rule of faith and practice is the Bible. So let's study the Bible. Let's look at the Bible. Let's read the Word of God. And by reading the Word of God, you always let God in your life. You always allow Him to come into your life. And these prophets that wrote these books, he picked them out randomly in a way. This man here is a very obscure figure in the Bible. We don't know much about him. But his book is one of the absolute jewels or gems of the Old Testament writings. It seems to have been written somewhere before the Battle of Carchemish in 605 B.C. The Babylonians had become the undisputed power of the whole area. Habakkuk's problem was not so much spiritual leadership. It was about theodicy. Theodicy. Theodicy is T-H-E-O-D-I-C-Y. Theodicy means the judgment of God. He wanted God to bring forth divine justice. Internally, he saw tremendous violence, law-breaking, injustice in every way, and he saw it go unpunished. It sounds like America today, doesn't it? So he questioned God about, why are you allowing this? God's answer troubled him even more. So he raised the question of God's justice again to God, and God reassured Habakkuk by telling him that if he could only wait, it would be plain and clear to him. Just wait. Sit down and wait. Patience is something that mankind does not... it's a problem, isn't it? Habakkuk was somewhat satisfied with the answer. If he could only wait, it would be clear to him. God's holiness, his own questions were unjustified. Habakkuk 2 and 20. Chapter 3 is a prayer, like a prayer and a psalm, a song, a praying song, which ends with another song or another strong statement of faith. For such a book of such minute words, Habakkuk has wielded a remarkable influence on the world, and we will see some of that as we read the book. The Habakkuk commentary on the Old Testament is the most well-preserved Old Testament commentary of those found among the Dead Sea Scrolls, and reflects a type of Old Testament exegesis which helps us understand better, much more thoroughly, the New Testament use of the Old Testament. Habakkuk 2 and 4 was used by Paul in Romans 1:17 to introduce the principle of justification by faith rather than by works. Martin Luther's interpretation of this verse, which totally reoriented his thinking and contributed to the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. Martin Luther looked at this verse and completely changed his life. Now, there were true believers all around him, not in the Catholic Church. He was a Catholic priest, you know, an ordained Catholic priest. John Calvin was a Catholic priest also, but he was not ordained. Martin Luther was ordained, and their idea was not to leave the Catholic Church, but to reform the Catholic Church, which didn't happen. The Catholic Church was not reformed. It still exists today. it clipped the wings of the Catholic Church as far as destruction goes. It clipped the wings of the Catholic Church as far as destruction goes. The Catholic Church gets killed between 50 and 100 million people. And of course, the great monster of Islam was there, and they have killed 270 plus million people. Islam and Catholicism are twin sisters when it comes to the destruction and the intolerance religiously. Now let's go and look at what Habakkuk has to say. Now the Chaldeans are used to punish Judah. The Babylonians, the Chaldeans, are used to punish Judah. Habakkuk starts out, the oracle of which Habakkuk the prophet saw. Now in this first verse we see several things. First of all, it's an oracle. An oracle is a statement of God, which Habakkuk the prophet, now it tells us that we have this word, this name Habakkuk, which means to embrace, and that he is a prophet of God. He claims himself to be a prophet of God. So we know that this is the oracle of God. We know who's proclaiming this oracle, Habakkuk, and we know that he's a prophet. And now, I'm doing a set of messages, a separate set of messages, on all the dreams and visions in the Bible. Evidently, Habakkuk saw in a dream, in a vision. He said, "How long, O Lord, will I call for help? And thou wilt not hear. I cry out to thee, violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look upon wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before my face. Strife exists and contention arises." Remember, God is using Babylon now to correct Judah, and they're getting their legs striped, so to speak. Their butts warmed up by God using these other powers. Therefore, the law is ignored, and justice is never upheld, for wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted, twisted. In America today, we see this so much. Right is wrong, and wrong is right. You can't condemn sin and unrighteousness because then you're wrong. And this is what Habakkuk saw in his days. Look among the nations. Observe. Be astonished and wonder, because I am doing something in your days that you would not believe if you were told it. For behold, I am rising up the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people who much throughout the earth to seize the dwelling places which are not theirs. He allowed the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, to raise up and to take these places, because God had told Israel to repent and they wouldn't repent. So he said, "I'm going to haul you off there. You have got idolatry in your blood veins, and I'm going to go over there and take you into Babylon, and I'm going to cleanse you just a little bit. I'm going to give you so much paganism that you won't want to smell it anymore. They are dreaded and they are feared. Their justice and authority originate from themselves. They say what's right and what's wrong. Their horses are swifter than leopards and keener than wolves in the evening. Their horsemen come galloping, and the horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping down to devour. All of them come for violence. Their horde of faces moves forward. They collect captives like the sand. They mock at kings, and rulers are laughing matter to them. They laugh at every fortress and heap up rubble to capture it. Then it will sweep through like the wind and pass on, but they will be held guilty, they whose strength is their God." They whose strength is their God. That's a little g. Their strength is their God. In America today, money is power. and influence is power. And it's very, and that's one thing that some of the presidents in past times said. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Power corrupts. Money corrupts. And this is what he's saying here. Power corrupts. Money corrupts because they had all of the resources of the earth in their hands. He said, art thou not far from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? O Lord my God, O Jehovah my Eloheinu, my Holy One. We will not die. Thou, O Lord, has appointed them to judge. O thou rock. Jesus said that he was a, he said, Peter, upon you, I'm not going to build a little stone. I'm not going to build my church upon you. I'm going to put it upon myself. Upon this rock, me, I'll be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down. And this is the rock of Israel right here. This is the rock that the church was built upon right there. I've established them to correct. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil. You cannot look upon wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why art thou silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? Why hast thou made men like the fish of the sea, like creeping things without a ruler over them? The Chaldeans bring all of them upon with a hook. They bring all of them with a hook like a fisherman does a fish. And drag them away with their nets, and gather them together in their fishing net. Therefore they rejoice and are glad, and therefore they offer a sacrifice to their net, not to God. Burnt incense in their fishing net, because through these things their catch is large. Now you look at the Babylonian and the Chaldean and even the Ninevites. They worshipped the fish god, Dagon. He said, you're going out and catching fish and eating fish, and you're sacrificing sacrifices to the fish god. He's no god at all. Just because you got a good catch, you are making sacrifices to this fish god. Will they therefore, because of these things their catch is large, and all their food is plentiful, will they therefore empty their net and continually slay nations without sparing? Chapter number 2. Now, Habakkuk is asking all these questions to God. This is what he asked God. And now God gives him an answer. I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision that you're about to see. Remember, I talked about visions and dreams in the Bible. Many times when God was going to inspire a man something, he'd like put him in a trance. He talked to Pharaoh. He talked to Abimelech. He talked to Joseph. He talked to Abraham in these dreams. Now he said, inscribe this on tablets, that one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. Hasten toward the goal, and it will be, and it will not be failed. Though it tarries, wait for it. For I will certainly come, and I will not delay. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him. The righteous will live by faith. Now, in the New Testament, Paul quotes this very verse here. And what it all means is the just shall live by faith. If you're saved, you're going to live by faith, not by sight. You're going to live by faith, not by sight. Habakkuk didn't understand all the things that were going on around him. God had revealed to him that he's going to bring justice or judgment on Israel by Babylonian or the Chaldeans, but that he was going to judge the Chaldeans later because of what they had done. The just shall live by faith. Martin Luther quoted this. Apostle Paul quoted this verse. Martin Luther was Catholic. He didn't know anything but obedience. You do this, you do this, you do this. And everything, you're always hoping with a fragile strain to salvation. And finally, Martin Luther, as a Catholic priest, began to read the Bible. Now, if you're a Catholic, don't read the Bible. Forget it. If you read the Bible and you're a Catholic, you're probably not going to be a Catholic forever, because the Bible will lead you away from Catholicism. And when he read the Bible, he said, the closer I get to Rome, the closer to hell I think I am. He said, truth is in the Bible. The Bible, the just shall live by faith. Paul quoted this in the book of Romans. He said, furthermore, wine betrays a haughty man. A man, a proud man, a haughty man, gets drunk in his wine, and it betrays him, so that he does not stay at home. He enlarges his appetite like Sheol. He's a glutton. He just wants more and more and more and more. Now, Sheol enlarges itself for all those that do not believe in God. They will not repent, but will not call upon him. As he is like death, never satisfied. Every one of us die. Basically, the percentage of all the people that died in this world is almost 100%. Mm-hmm. We only have two people that haven't died in the whole history of mankind. One of them is Enoch, and the other one is Elijah. The only two. And they're a type of the rapture. He said he always gathers to himself all the nations. It's 100% chance you're going to die. And he collects to himself all people. Hell does this. Sheol does this. Death does this. Now, actually, you have to memorize at this period of time, in Sheol was the righteous and the unrighteous. There was a great gulf in between them, the saved on one side and the lost on the other side. And it kept getting bigger and bigger as people died. Everybody dies. Will not all these things take up a taunting song against him, and every mocker and insinuation against him? And they say, woe to him who increases what is not his, and for how long he makes himself rich with loans. You know that God put down in his law that one Jew could not charge another Jew interest. If your brother needed money and you loaned money to him, he couldn't charge him interest for it. Will not all your creditors arise up suddenly, and those who collect from you awaken? Indeed, you will become plunder for them, because you have looted many nations, and all the remainder of the prophets will loot you. Because of a human bloodshed and violence done to the land. Now, he's saying one of these days, Babylonia is going to pay the price to the towns and all that have this. Woe to him who gets evil again. Woe to him, this is what we call unrighteous gain. For his house to put his nest on high, to be delivered from the hand of calamity. You have devised a shameful thing for your house by cutting off many peoples. So you are sinning against yourself. Surely the stone will cry out from the wall, and the rafter will answer from the framework. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed. There are so many lawyers out here today, so many wicked contractors and things that take abuse and abuse people. And they build their homes with bloodshed. They do. Dishonest gain. And founds a town with violence. Is it not indeed from the Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts? The word host there means the Lord of armies, that the all-powerful one. That peoples toil for fire, and nations grow weary for nothing. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Now he's talking about the time in the millennium. He's jumping ahead. As the waters cover the sea, woe to you who make your neighbors drink, who mix in your venom even to make them drunk. Woe to you who take advantage of your neighbors to do everything to make illegal contracts, basically. You've heard of the old story where the banker went to the man's house and got him and brought him a brand new bottle of whiskey and then got him to sign a paper? That's what it's talking about. So as to look upon their nakedness, you will be filled with grace rather than honor. Now yourself drink and expose your own nakedness. The cup of the Lord's right hand will come around you, and utter disgrace will come upon your glory. For the violence done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, and the devastation of its beasts by which you terrify them, because of the human bloodshed and violence done to the land, to the town and to all its inhabitants. Lebanon was a beautiful place that had the cedars of Lebanon. We know that Solomon from the cedars of Lebanon, he built the house of God from the timber from the Lebanon. But you know what? I went over there in the land of Israel in 1975 and 76, and there weren't very many timbers. There weren't very many cedars of Lebanon. They had all been cut down. They had all been cut down mainly for war. At one time in Europe, all the way from the Middle East all the way to Europe, there were so many trees and forests there that they said a squirrel can jump from tree to tree and never hit the ground for 3,000 miles. And you know what happened to all those forests? They were all cut down to make wars and bloodshed. God's people were burned at the stake for preaching the Bible. It deforested the whole country. And then what it's talking about here too. What profit is an idol when its maker has carved it? How in the world are you going to make your own God? When you invent your own God, what is that God going to be able to help you? No. An image or a teacher of falsehood, for its maker trusts in his own handwork, his own workmanship. When he has fashioned as speechless idols, look at the Catholic Church, where they got all of these idols, all the saints, so to speak. All the saints were canonized, and you pray to the saints. The Bible says you pray to God the Father through Jesus Christ, and that's the only way. You can't pray through Mary. You can't pray through Joseph or whoever. They're fashioned by the hands of men and by the minds of men. Woe to him who says to a piece of wood, awake! To a dumb stone, arise! And that is your teacher, behold! It is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath in it at all inside. You can go into Bill Lee's giant blue chopsticks in Bakersfield, and there's a Buddha there, and you look at Buddha's belly, and it's all rubbed off. It's real slick from people rubbing it. Buddha was an ignorant individual in history, and yet people follow his philosophy. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all earth be silent before him. We're down here to the last chapter. You know, Buddha was a prince, they say, in India. And he escaped outside and went out on his horse. And he lived in luxury all his life. And he went out there and he saw people living in squalor and starving to death. And he decided that he was going to go out there and sit underneath the tree and starve to death too. Now, one of the things that Buddha was really afraid of was being reincarnated. He dreamed that he had been a tiger, a lion, and a flea, and a louse, and a fly, and etc. And he didn't want to go back to being reincarnated over and over and over and over again, which is nothing but paganism anyway. So he got up this idea of nirvana. And when he died, he believed that he was real good and denied himself all the way through life, of everything, every worldly pleasure and everything. He walked off and left his wife and child. Wouldn't even speak to them. And went off into this foolish idea of nirvana, that he would go off and he would cease to exist. And when he'd go to sleep in death, that he would just go to sleep and not have to be reincarnated. He sat out there underneath the tree with all the other prophets, and they were all starving themselves. They were existing on one grain of rice a day. That's all. One grain of rice a day. This enough to sustain him. He got down to where they said you could see his heart beating in his chest. His bones were all out there. And then one girl came up to him one day. He said, "Now, prophet Bodah, don't you realize that you need enough to eat or you won't be able to send your message out to the rest of the world? And I brought you a bowl of soup, porridge. Eat this bowl of soup and know that you can sustain your life for a longer period of time than eat one grain of rice and that you can preach your message." So he looked at her and he looked at the soup. So he ate the soup. Then he came upon a revelation from himself. And he says, "You can only eat one meal a day, but you have to beg for that meal. You cannot buy it. You cannot work for it. You have to beg for it." And so that's why the Buddhists beg for their meals, and they eat one meal a day. So they can go out of existence when they die, and that's not going to happen. The foolishness of false religion. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet according to Siginoth. "Lord, I have heard the report about you, and I fear. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of your years, in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath and remember mercy. God, be just, bring justice in the world, but remember mercy also. God comes from Teman, the Holy One, from Mount Paran." And then it says here, this is like a song. Now, this is a miniature song in this book. And it says, "Rest." Now, this is the chorus. "Now, say this and then be silent for a while. His splendor covers the heavens and the earth is full of his praise. His radiance is like the sunlight and his rays flashing from his hand. And there is the hiding of his power. Before him goes pestilence. And plague comes after him. He stood and surveyed the earth. He looked and startled the nations. Yes, the perpetual mountains were shattered. The ancient hills collapsed. His ways are everlasting. His ways, his decisions were all the way back from eternity past. The Bible says that Jesus Christ stood as a lamb slain from before he ever built anything in the whole cosmos. His ways are from everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan under distress, and the tent curtains of the land of Midian were trembling. Did the Lord rage against the rivers? Or was your divine anger against the rivers? Or was your wrath against the sea, that you did ride on your horses, on thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made bare. The bow was made bare. He showed his rifle, his shotgun, his M14, his M1. The rods of chastisement were sworn." Again, it says rest and think about it, what I just said. Selah. "Thou did split the earth with rivers." Cleave the earth with, in order to the flow of water wears away the walls of a canyon, doesn't it? "The mountains saw you and quaked. The downpour of water swept by. The deep uttered forth its voice. It is lifted up high in its hands. Sun and moon stood in their places. They went away at the light of thine hours, arrows, at the radiance of thy gleaming spear. In indignation thou didst march the earth. In anger you did trample the nations. You did go forth the salvation of your people." God always remembers his people, the ones that believe. "For the salvation of yours is anointed, picked out. You did strike the hand, or the head that is, of the house of evil, to lay him upon the thigh lay him open from thigh to neck. You did pierce him with your own spears. The head of his thongs, they stormed in and scattered us. Their expectation was like those who devour the oppressed in secret. They did tread the sea with our horses. They crossed the rivers and they crossed the seas with their horses. And on the surge of many waters, I heard my inward parts trembling. Have your guts ever trembled and twisted from fear or fright or anguish? At the sound of my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress. The just shall live by faith, and just shall be patient. For the people to arise who will invade us. For though the fruit tree shall not blossom, there will be no fruit in the vines, and though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields of produce no food, the fields produce no food. Though the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt in the Lord, and I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, Jehovah Eloheinu. He who has made my feet like hinds' feet. You know what a hind is? That's something that runs really fast. And makes me walk on my high places, for the choir director on my stringed instruments. This was a song. Praise God in this way. Praise God and realize that everything that's going on in the world today, there's going to be an end to all of this. And there will be justice that walks across this earth like a man walks, or like the waters flowing across the land. What some of us have been in flash floods. Righteousness shall flow like a flash flood in the land. In the end, and the just shall live by faith. And that's what we're supposed to do. The just, we that are saved, shall live by faith. Just lay back and just wait and see what God's going to do for us. Our Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for all the blessings you give us. And sometimes we don't understand everything that's going on around us, but we know, and everything is in your hand anyway. You allow these things to happen sometimes just to teach us a lesson and to bring about your eternal purpose and unpreventable progress. Father, thank you for all the blessings you gave us, and please forgive me where I failed you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.